This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, the weekend edition of Family Research Council's Washington Watch.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm David Salkeld. There's no question that government overreach is out of control, specifically under the current administration. Thankfully, we have groups like Judicial Watch to make sure the correct information gets out there. Unfortunately, at times, it's because the group has to sue the government. In his new book, Clean House, Exposing Our Government's Secrets and Lies, Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton lays out how important getting to the truth is. Tom joined Tony on Wednesday.
Tom, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Good to be with you. How are you?
Good, good. And what is this, about 1,000 pages?
You name which batch of documents. It's just crazy. We're getting thousands of pages of records. Just over the last two batches themselves were about 2,000 total, and they show the foundation getting favors from the Clinton administration, the then Clinton State Department, for well-connected donors and big donors, including the Crown Prince of Bahrain and a shady foreign billionaire.
So are you doing an addendum to your book?
Well, you know, this is the type of book, if I were to add in something every time a new document came in, it'd be, the never-ending story.
I mean, there really is a lot of material covering this administration when it comes to, either corrupt
or
questionable.
Yeah, I mean, we can't do enough. We've had well over 300 Freedom of Information Act lawsuits. We recount many of them and how, especially on the topics of the IRS and the Clinton emails and Benghazi and things like that in the book. But we can't do enough. I mean, the government's spending trillions of dollars a year, and oversight in Washington is in a state of collapse. But for independent groups like Judicial Watch going to court to try to get access to key government documents.
Now, you mentioned some. What are some of the other scandals that you cover in your new book, Clean House, Exposing Our Government Secrets and Lies?
Well, we talk about, the big issues, that have happened since 2012, the Benghazi terrorist attack. Pretty much every important thing we know about Benghazi is because of our independent investigation, not what Congress is doing, but what Judicial Watch is doing.
Right.
And,
which is let me just say, Tom, Judicial Watch has uncovered the bulk of this information that has led to congressional hearings. Congress hasn't been able to get this information, and you guys have.
Yeah, that's the incredible thing. The Select Committee on Benghazi was created in direct response to a revelation we uncovered through our Freedom of Information Act lawsuit about the White House involvement in the big lies on Benghazi. And that was a document that five congressional committees hadn't been able to get, and then Speaker Boehner had enough of the Clinton obstruction, or Obama obstruction, and ordered the Select Committee. I mean, that's how significant our work has been. It's remarkable we're doing it. We're happy to do it, but it really is outrageous that we're the ones doing it.
Now, how prominent does Hillary Clinton factor into these various scandals that we've seen in the second term of Barack Obama? I mean, as you've gone back and uncovered a lot of this.
Well, Barack Obama is probably regretting her appointment. Or maybe he's happy to have the scandals going on because it distracts people from what he's doing in terms of overturning the rule of law as he prepares to leave office. But Mrs. Clinton's at the center of the storm on Benghazi, and of course she upended the Freedom of Information Act by doing all of her government work on a separate email system that wasn't subject to the Freedom of Information Act but should have been. And so it's resulted in criminal investigations, pressure on his Justice Department, and just revelations after revelations, it seems, almost every day at this point about the scandalous behavior related to Mrs. Clinton and her State Department and the shady connections with her foundation and their donors.
I'm talking to Tom Fitton. He's the president of Judicial Watch. He has a new book. It just came out yesterday, Clean House, Exposing Our Government's Secrets and Lies. And a lot of this information, Tom, does come from the Freedom of Information Act request that you have made and the documents that you've obtained. What is your purpose in writing this? What do you hope to accomplish?
Well, I want people to know what their government's up to. I mean, we talk about documents that you can find if you look hard enough on our website and elsewhere. But, you know, it's important that there be a book about the key documents that we uncovered on scandals that are important and will always be important in terms of what is our government up to. You know, the abandonment of our troops in Benghazi and our people in Benghazi. The abuse of the IRS to assault the First Amendment rights and suppress an entire political movement to make sure that President Obama was reelected. The crisis on immigration, you know, that issue isn't going away. We've got these key documents. And not only that, we provide the background about these scandals so that you know what to look for as we go forward. And importantly, you know, towards the end of the book, we talk about what ought to be done to help clean up Washington. That isn't that reforms that can be made at the Green House, no matter who's elected.
Extremely critical, because I think we've reached a new level of corruption and tolerance of corruption. And that's what concerns me most, is that people tolerate it. We cannot tolerate it. Tom, how can folks get a copy of your book?
Well, it's available all over the country for purchase on all the major bookseller sites and your local bookstores. So go to our website at judicialwatch.org to get direct links. But it's widely available. It's already a bestseller, so we're thrilled by the public response.
Great. Super. Tom Fenton, thanks so much for joining us, and best of luck with the book.
Thank you, Tony, and good luck to you as well.
You can find out more about Tom Fenton and how to get his book when you visit tonyperkins.com. When we return, we'll be joined by Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of the weekend edition of Washington Watch right after this.
Since September 11, 2001, the U.S. has lost 7,000 lives and $2 trillion battling global jihad. I'm Jerry Boykin from the Family Research Council and the former commander of the U.S. Army's Delta Force. Join me with Phil Haney and Sebastian Gorka, along with Dr. Zudi Jasser, as we discuss how to defeat global jihad and the threat that it presents in America. That's at the Values Voter Summit on September 9th through the 11th. Visit valuesvotersummit.org. For more information, call 1-877-372-2808.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Wednesday night, GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump gave a speech laying out his immigration plan, a speech that many political pundits believe is the most important so far in his short political career. Trump doubled down on his early stance to build a wall between the United States and Mexico, stating that the wall will be, quote, impenetrable, physical, tall, powerful, beautiful, end quote. Giving physical attributes to the wall steers away from what some political figures thought would be a virtual wall. Trump also said that there would be no amnesty for illegal immigrants currently in America. One major push was that his immigration policy would put the American people first, not wealthy donors or powerful politicians, but one that serves the American people. Former Minnesota Congresswoman and 2012 presidential candidate Michelle Bachmann was with Tony on Thursday.
Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. It's great to hear your voice again. You sound great, and our prayers have been with you with all the devastation that you and your neighbors have experienced down in Louisiana. We're with you.
Well, I appreciate that. We are still sorting through the rubble. It's quite amazing what nature can do. But anyway, we know from Romans 8:28. That something good is going to come of this. I am confident of that very thing. Amen. Let me, more than any other member of Congress, as you and I worked together closely over the last almost decade, you have a good understanding and handle on foreign policy issues, and that includes even the things happening in this continent and the immigration issue. What did you think of Donald Trump's speech last night?
We saw President Trump last night very clearly. It was extremely presidential. But what he did is hit a total grand slam on what I believe is the most important public policy issue facing the nation. I think for your audience, for you and I, we recognize the number one issue facing this nation is a nation that has been turning its way against God. That's number one. But number two would be in public policy would be immigration. And why is that true? Because we have historically been a Judeo-Christian nation decidedly built on a biblical worldview. And since 1965, America's stated immigration policy has been to prefer those who do not hold to a Christian worldview. And that's had a profound impact on the United States.
And it's interesting because he made the point in his speech last night. He said, it is our right as a sovereign nation to choose immigrants we think are the likeliest to thrive and flourish and love us, meaning that there is place. In fact, there is a mandate for a sovereign nation to determine who comes in and who doesn't.
Well, that's exactly right. It's not only the right of government, it's the duty of government to protect its citizens. And that's what the angel moms who were on stage last night showed, that there are very real, devastating, personal consequences that come from allowing people into our country and not punishing lawlessness and instead rewarding bad behavior. Those are some of the results we see, and that's exactly what Donald Trump will stop.
It's interesting how the media, and this is one of the things I like about Donald Trump, is that the media has hammered him, mischaracterized his position to the point where they thought he was kind of moving back, rethinking his position. Last night he made very clear he's intent on building a wall. He is going forward, even though the media is against this idea of America being a sovereign nation with borders.
Oh, exactly. Last night I was listening to all 10 of the points that Donald Trump put out, and I have been heavily involved in this issue of immigration, whether it's legal or illegal, for a long time and the negative ramifications. He was right on every single point. He was emphatic. He wasn't wavering. I have never, ever heard a candidate running for president who has been so more candid and putting forth very popular position, popular with American people, not popular with inside the Beltway political types, not popular with editorial boards across the country, not popular with people who want one world government, but very, very popular with people who love America. That's what people saw last night, a President Trump who loves America, who gets the heartbeat of the average American. And what I love too, Tony, he most assuredly reached out to young African-American youth and young Latino youth that are legally here in the United States. And he said, look, you're suffering more than anyone from this influx of unskilled labor that's coming into America, and I want to help you. And I thought it was fantastic what he said. And I believe Donald Trump is a man of his word. I believe that Donald Trump will build the wall. And I believe he will find a way to get it paid for by the people who have benefited most. What we heard from Donald Trump last night is that he will enforce the law. He wants to be a man to uphold the law versus Hillary Clinton, who has a stated goal to remain lawless. In fact, her daughter Chelsea actually said that Hillary Clinton plans to give a government-paid-for lawyer to every illegal alien in the United States. And she said Hillary Clinton will provide Obamacare free to every illegal alien in the United States. We need to wake up and realize what it is that Hillary Clinton will do if she becomes president.
Yeah, just build on the legacy of Barack Obama, which has been one lawless act after another. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. My guest, former Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, discussing last night's speech by Donald Trump regarding his immigration policy. Now, Michelle, let me ask you this, because you understand this very well, because you were out on the campaign trail running for president and, in fact, won the early Iowa straw poll. I mean, you had a very successful campaign in those in the early primary. And you have to see that, I mean, I see it. I want to see if you agree with me or not. But America, Americans, you talked about that Donald Trump is trying to reach and is reaching and was communicating with last night. They're fed up with the media elites and the political class in Washington who are continuing the same old thing and are basically putting their fingers in their ears when it comes to listening to the American people, and Donald Trump is speaking and listening directly to them. Is that a fair observation?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, none of us have ever seen a media that has converted itself into Hillary Clinton's personal press corps more than this election cycle. In no previous election cycle have we ever seen anything this marching in lockstep. And Donald Trump is nobody's fool, and Donald Trump is his own man. I've known him personally for 5 years. What you see is what you get, but he's a very common-sense guy. He gets America. He loves America. He has 1950s sensibilities, and he's taking really a page out of Ronald Reagan's plan, because Ronald Reagan had the press corps against him, and Ronald Reagan trusted the hearts of the American people. And so his message was directed directly to the hearts of the American people. He didn't try to win over the press corps. Donald Trump isn't trying to win over the press corps. As a matter of fact, he punches back against
right.
the press corps, and he goes to the hearts of the people. If you look at the reaction in the arena last night in Phoenix, for any of your listeners, Tony, who didn't watch Donald Trump's speech last night, you can just Google that speech and watch it from beginning to end. I was standing on my feet in our basement last night watching this, cheering, laughing, roaring. I was so encouraged and so inspired by that speech, because I saw a man who's not content to look at the decline of America. This is a man who's fighting back and who's going to make sure that America really does win again. If you want to have hope, and if you want to be inspired, watch Donald Trump give his speech on immigration. You can't help but cheer him on and want him to win in November, because then we win. It's about us. He wants America to win. He wants our families to win. He wants our faith to have religious liberty again. And I think this is something that we can all get behind.
I think so. I think people are just so hungry for someone who will just talk straight to them put a spin on the problems facing America, but face them head on. Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for being with us today, and look forward to catching up with you next week at the Values Voter Summit.
Will do. Thanks again. God bless.
To find out more about Congresswoman Bachmann and the Values Voter Summit, go to TonyPerkins.com. Coming up next, a look at recent polling involving politically motivated evangelicals. We'll be back with more Washington Watch right after this. Forget watching the presidential race. Come to Washington, D.C. and experience it. From September 9th through 11th, Donald Trump and other conservatives will be teaming up with FRC Action and thousands of Americans to bring real change to Washington. You can too. FRC President Tony Perkins will be speaking, and so will other names you know, like John Voight, Bill Bennett, Phil Robertson, James Dobson, and many more. Tickets are going fast, so log on to valuesvotersummit.org today. That's valuesvotersummit.org. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Tony has discussed many times on his Washington Watch Live program the complexity of evangelical voters. We're not just simply one-issue voters, but we take into account several factors when voting. One of our main values is the protection of the Constitution, specifically, as of late, the Second Amendment. Founder of the Barna Group and executive director of the American Culture and Faith Institute, George Barna, joined Tony on Thursday.
George, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, how are you doing?
Well, good, and I'm having you on because I know you're a straight shooter. So, George, let's talk.
No pun intended, right?
Yeah, no pun intended. That's right. I thought this was very fascinating, this survey that you took, where almost 58%, almost 60% of spiritually engaged, that's the sage cons that we've been talking about in this program, those are the ones who are spiritually active culturally and politically engaged, that they own guns, but not because they're necessarily want to use them against the government, as some would suggest, but they're some of the most patriotic Americans. Share with our listeners what you found in this survey.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You go to the mainstream media, and what you're led to believe is that people who have guns are, you know, what they might call white trash, but what we discovered is that these sage cons, the spiritually active governance engaged conservatives, are individuals, the vast majority of whom, about three-quarters of them, have at least a bachelor's degree. A large share of them have advanced degrees beyond that, graduate-level degrees. The median household income of these individuals is over $100,000 per household. They tend to be married. They have kids. They're registered to vote. They regularly exercise that right to vote. You know, these are people who love God. They love country, their country. They love their family. And they pray for these things. They pray for their church. They pray for their government leaders. They pray for peace on earth, as you alluded to. We find that these are not people who are waiting for any, you know, anything to just cause them to go out in the streets and pull the trigger. We found that 96% of them describe themselves as pro-life advocates because they believe life matters, that life is a holy gift from God. So, I mean, there's a whole different way of looking at these people. They're spiritually devout. They go to church regularly. They read the Bible multiple times per week. 96% of them believe that the Bible is the inerrant word of God. You know, so their whole life is wrapped up in trying to honor God. It's not about taking matters into their own hands.
Right, right. Well, I guess, and they would take the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 22 when he says, if you don't have a sword, go out and buy one. So I do find this interesting is that this totally annihilates the allegations, as you said, about the media and even President Obama stereotyping Christians as having guns and God because they're fearful and they're clinging to. Rather, they live out of their understanding of Scripture, and all of these things are really just a part of who they are because of their faith.
Absolutely true. And you know, one of the ways that I was able to look at it after going through a lot of data related to this is these are people who take responsibility seriously. And so they look at their faith, they look at their family, they look at their country, and they recognize that they have certain responsibilities and rights. And so they look at the Constitution, they understand they have a right to own a gun, but they understand that the responsibility is to use it only if they absolutely need to protect their family. They know that there are other institutions, there are other mechanisms that are in place to do those things. But because they have a commitment to their family, and a responsibility to it. Yes, maybe at some point a gun is going to be necessary. But, you know, that's not their first line of solution.
But it's there. And they understand the importance of that in the Constitution, in the Second Amendment, and the Bill of Rights. I want to ask you the question, the correlation or the connection between these sage cons, these politically active, spiritually engage, I always get that term mixed up, but anyway, you know what I mean. These guys that are conservative Christians who believe the Bible, who own guns, where's the connection with Donald Trump? Where do they stand when it comes to this presidential election?
Well, I mean, this is a group of people that makes no bones about it. They are incredibly frustrated with what's going on in the country. I mean, we found that 92% of them said they're angry about the state of the country. 93% are dissatisfied with the way things are going. More than 95% want to curb the size and the power of the federal government. And so these people are looking for a change, a very significant change. What they want to do is they want to bring the country back to what the Constitution calls it to be. And so when they hear Mr. Trump, you know, railing against political correctness, and talking about making things more reasonable and getting government out of people's lives, that resonates with this group. It's not that they want to be unruly. It's just the opposite. It's that they want to have the opportunity to determine the values that their family is going to live according to. And I will tell you from the research, that will be according to the Scriptures. That's what they're looking for. They want the opportunity to live that way.
Now, the vast majority of those who fall into this category of near 60% of conservative Christian who owns guns, that number of them supporting Donald Trump is over 85%. So, I mean, it's almost like he has that entire block locked up. But he's got to reach beyond that to be successful in this election. Can he do that?
He can. You know, it takes time. It's just, well, I think if you look at the current polls, we got to be careful. I mean, we're just about to enter the real start of the race, if you will.
So right. After Labor Day is when people really begin to focus.
Pretty much. You know, and right now, as you mentioned, he's got about 86% or so of the Sage Cons who own guns. Can he get others behind him? Yes. But the American people make their choices over a period of time. Right now, almost everybody has made a choice, but they're not locked into that choice.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're seeing currently is kind of the drip, drip, drip of the leaky faucet, that leaky faucet being all the scandals connected to Mrs. Clinton. And so the American people, as I interpret what's going on, are in a process of reevaluating. They've got issues with Mr. Trump. They've got issues with Mrs. Clinton. And so they're trying to figure out what really does matter in this election. They've pretty much figured they're not really going to get a person of character because there are character issues on both sides. But what they are also thinking is, boy, but do I want somebody who I know breaks the law, doesn't seem to have any remorse about it, you know, has all kinds of ethical and moral issues that seem to keep coming up. And the American people are not quite at a point, I believe, based on studying morals and values, where they say, yep, I want a leader who's going to consistently lie to me and maybe steal from me as well. I don't think we've reached that point. Now, honestly, I think America is moving toward that, where we're in this state of moral freefall, almost a state of moral anarchy. But I don't think we're there yet. So I think these next 2 months are going to be really interesting in terms of the campaign itself.
Very interesting. George Barna, as always, thanks so much for joining us. Enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you. I did too, Tony. Take care.
To find out more about anything you've heard on today's program, go to TonyPerkins.com. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues affecting your faith, family, and freedom. Well, that's it for this week's show. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 866-372-7234.